T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
With us now from NBC Sports Philadelphia is one of the great coaching minds that we ever get to talk to, Mr. Jim Lynham. Hi, Jimmy.
Angelo, how you doing?
I got to tell you, Jim, everybody in this city right now is kind of mystified by what's going on with the Sixers. Could you give us your overview on what's happening with the team that's 18-2 at home and 7-14 on the road?
Angelo, I wish I could give you an answer to that. It's befuddling. I can't explain it. I mean, that disparity home and that the road is more difficult. I mean, obvious. We all know that. The crowd means that much, particularly this Philly crowd. This team feeds off this crowd. They have the second best home record in the entire NBA. And what? They've lost twice as many games on the road as they've won. I think they're 7-14 now on the road.
Well, here's what we're trying to figure out, Jim. I do not have to tell you how it works around this city. When we are not happy with what's happening with the team, we blame the coach. You were on the receiving end of that many times. How much blame?
Yeah, how about it? I think I remember some of them.
I'm pretty sure I did it a time or two, Jim. But what I'm trying to get at is, how much blame do you give the coach when your team is underperforming?
Well, the coach, quite frankly, Angelo, he's the first guy in line. I think we accept that, all of us. Brett knows that. That this is a bit of an unusual situation. I can say that as an ex-coach, trying to take an objective view of it. But that's not going to quell any of the, let's say, the noise out there with people being upset. I think if Brett were here with us right now, he would tell you that this team is better than number 6 in the East. I don't think there's any question about that, that they performed really poorly on the road. That's a given also. And what he'll tell you is that they need a little bit of time to get it right. I actually believe, I'm not saying this on Brett's behalf, I think in the spring when it counts, I think this team, given one thing and being in reasonably good health, I think this team will be a legit challenge to win the Eastern title.
Wow, and that's an NBA Finals visit. But Jim, here's where we're really tripping up right now with Brett Brown. Ben Simmons is a longtime friend of Brett Brown. He, there's connections all the way back to Australia.
Right.
Ben Simmons won't shoot a jump shot, definitely not a three. Brett tried publicly. You know what's going on with that. Jim, you were a coach. When a player won't do what you need him and want him to do, how do you get him to do it?
Well, obviously that's an issue, Angelo, meaning what you just said. When a player won't do what you want him to do. And I would suggest to you that in Brett's mind, it's not as big a deal, meaning him not shooting, as the rest of the world makes it out to be. Now, for me, everybody has their own opinion. They're welcome to it. The issue isn't whether he takes a three or doesn't. Like when I don't mean to be a wise guy here, but when he took that one three and the building went berserk, I mean, it was like I almost like laughed inside because I knew what was going to happen. I knew that wasn't the forerunner of him raining threes out of that corner for the next 82 games. It wasn't going to happen. That's not who he is. I don't think it's as big a deal as everybody makes it out to be. If I were the coach, what I would need him to do, I would need him to make a foul shot at a higher rate because that's what affects every part of his game and the play of those around them, in my opinion.
Hey, Jim, in your long career as a coach, who is the greatest player you coached?
Charles, for sure, not even
close. All right, great. How hard was he to get to do what you needed him to?
Did you ever hear that phrase, it takes a village?
Well, you had to get other people to tell Charles as well as you?
Without question, and I mean this literally. I'm not trying to be flip here.
Right.
In terms of, I had a terrific assistant coach in Freddie Carter, who had a very good relationship with Charles. Well, I had two guys on my team that Charles really respected. One was Rick Mahorn, a no-nonsense guy who would throw you into the corner. If I said throw him, he'd say which corner. And the second guy, Mike Jaminski. And when every once in a while, I would go over to one of those two guys and I would say, go get your boy. I need a little bit of help.
Yeah. Wow. And did it work, Jim?
Well, you tell me.
You did a great job.
Of course I coached Charles. Absolutely.
Wow. This is what worries me most about the Ben situation. Publicly last week, Jim, Embiid came out and said he needed him to do what the coach said, and he still didn't do it. And I know it's not like, in your eyes, it's not like the ultimate issue governing what's going on with the Sixers, but I'm worried that when the coach is not being listened to, that the coach doesn't have the power he needs in everything that he does. People have to respect the coach, don't they?
Of course they do, Angelo, but I would kind of take the position that they do listen to Coach Brett Brown, right, and they do respect him. The fact that they're 18-2 at home, they have the second best home record in all of the NBA. Come on. Now, you can come back to me, obviously, and say, yeah, you know that, but how do you explain the road record? At this point in time, I can't explain it. Mm. I think it will improve dramatically as you go forward. Unfortunately, the one thing that is without question that's been demonstrated at this point is that Joel Embiid is like vital to this team being a real legitimate contender. Without him, they're just a decent NBA team, period. Yep. Yep. That's how much he means to this team. And we might be without him for the next month or so, maybe longer.
One of my favorite quotes ever, Jim, came from you. Well, I think you were talking about Sean Bradley, somebody like that. You said, you can't teach tall, right? I mean,
yeah, tell me.
Am I right? Jim, you can't. If you're seven feet plus, you got a great advantage there. And you're right about Embiid. Jim, here, I guess this is what I'm trying to get to on this whole thing is, are the Sixers, one of the things we've heard is they're built for the playoffs. Do you think they are? If they can get into a favorable slot in the playoffs, will we see a better team than the one we're seeing now?
I think so, Angelo. But here's the big deal for me. They changed this team around when they got rid of Jimmy Butler and J.J. Redick.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that, okay? In what they did in, like, reforming it, they brought in two key guys. Jason Richardson, who obviously is a much better player than the world knew,
right,
and Al Horford, who the world did know. There's a big question here. Can Al Horford, it's ironic that you talk about size. Al Horford's a 7-foot guy. Joel Embiid is a 7-foot guy. It's not the easiest thing in the world playing two guys that size in today's NBA. If the Sixers are going to be what you just said, built for the playoffs, then those two guys will have to be able to play a lot more effectively, one with the other, come springtime.
Fascinating. Last thing, Jim.
That is the issue. It's this idea of Ben's not shooting enough. You can't play with Ben. You don't have spacing. You don't have this. That is like kind of the misdirected criticism. People don't quite get. It'd be like you asking me to analyze Eagle football. Please, I may as well go to a rugby game. I love football. I can't analyze. Please.
All right, Jim, I love talking to you. Last thing, Jim, because I know you experienced this at some point in your career. When people are starting to publicly question whether you're going to stay in the job and you're a head coach, how hard is that to deal with? What's that like? Describe that.
Well, it's difficult. It's a matter of concentration. I, when I worked for my first team, the LA Clippers, the headline one morning in the LA Times was, "Hey, lineup, the mailman is coming." So it was a pretty direct hint that I better start winning more games. That's the best thing for one's confidence as a coach when your team is what I call sliding. Start winning more games. And in the Sixers' case, obviously we're talking about road games. They have no problem winning enough home games. Right. That's their challenge right now.
Jim Lynam. Jim, you're awesome, man. Love watching you on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Always a tremendous honor to have you out. Thank you, Jim.
My pleasure, man. Hello to Rhea and all your guys.
Hey, thanks.
Jimmy Lynam, Al. How about that, Al? This was years ago.
Yeah.
In L.A., where I didn't think they cared that much. They were harassing Jimmy Lynam.
I mean, you get
crazy as that.
You sign up for it, right?
Right.
But that's why Brown, when he does leave, and eventually all coaches leave,
right?
There can be no complaints for the amount of time he's been. I mean,
no,
my lord.
No, he had 7 years. That should be enough.
That's just,
but I gotta just be honest. The moment I enjoyed the most there was when I could quote Jimmy from something that Conklin's often used. You can't teach tall.
I know.
I've always loved that quote.
That's where he got it from.
Because it's really clean. And, what, he's back?
Yeah, he's back.
Hold on. Jimmy's back.
There we go.
Jimmy, more?
Ange, one more thing. Speaking of not teaching tall and losing on the road, I did beat DePaul that year, despite what you and Jonesy were saying earlier.
No, we said you beat DePaul.
I did beat DePaul that year. Oh. And in the Pan Am games, I beat DePaul.
All right, no, stop. Get out of here. That wasn't him. That was Joe Conklin, who was supposed to be doing a bit, but it's been slowed down by technology.
Jimmy was funnier.
There's something wrong with the computer.
All I can tell you is
it's a really great bit as soon as we can get to it.
We're on our last legs here.
We
so can't.
So far, if you just tuned in, we have a serious computer problem, and Keith Jones's car was towed.
I'd forgot about
his
that.
Mind is elsewhere right now.
And we're down to one taste.
Yeah, these are the last days here. This is the palace is being abandoned.
Last day I'm here, they tow my car.
By the way, I went to the new studios. We're very much looking forward to it. Al, they're extremely high tech. But I'm going to warn everybody now, we are not actually going to be there as a team till next Monday. Because they're still tweaking little things. And they've already told me I will be firing my own of sound bites.
Huh?
Yeah.
What?
There's going to be like a thing there.
No, I am going
to hit the buttons myself.
No, you're not.
The odds of that working out well.
Zero.
Are very low.
No, they're not low.
So enjoy the final week where we actually make sense.
No, they can't even consider
that. No, they did. They showed me how I'm doing. Ben, our engineer, came in, and Ben said, here's how it's going to work, and then all you need to do is take your finger and boom, poke.
You can't even put the collars on sometimes at Borgata.
I understand. Often I can't put them on at Borgata. Here, I'm extremely good at it. Mike from Ben Salem is up next. Hi, Mike.
I'm really tired of Brett Brown. It's been time for him to go a long time ago. I think they should have let him go after the process was so-called over. You just can't keep a guy around like that who just only taught losing to me. I mean, I would have fired him after the 10 win season, but, you know, I know a lot of people – I think a lot of people, you know, want to keep him, especially the process people, because that he's a nice guy and they want to see him make it through for, you know, all the hard times he did. But I don't really care about that right now. I want to win some basketball games. And, you know, I also blame Ben Simmons a lot because, you know, for 2 years in a row, he baited the Sixers and the fans with all these jump shot videos. And he's been coming back the same player he's been since the rookie year.
It is amazing.
He's uncoachable. Mike, he's uncoachable. I don't know. I have to give Brown some of the blame because he's the coach, but I'm not sure he would listen to anyone.
He's got his
money now. He doesn't have to listen to anybody. He's got his money.
Yeah, the sad part is, like, in the NBA, like, the agents run the league. So, you know, the Sixers kind of were stuck in, you know, a hard place, I guess you would say, because if you, you know, mess with Clutch Sports, then none of their clients are going to come to you, and they're the big client. So, you know, it's just really hard right now in the NBA. But, I mean, still, the worst thing that happened to Ben Simmons was being an all-star and being rookie of the year because he thinks he's made it already. I mean, whenever you ask him about a jump shot, he comes back with, well, I'm an all-star, right?
Yeah. He's got a lot. I've never liked the way he presents himself. He has this air of detachment that I don't think works in this city.
It worked with Chase Utley.
Nah, that's a different air. It's a slightly different air.
No, he had the same exact air of detachment.
No, he did not have the same air.
He was lucky enough that he had J. Roll And why am I blanking?
Right, hold on a minute. I have an ear expert here, Keith Jones.
Hmm?
The Chase Utley have the same ear as Ben Simmons?
How's my ear?
Al?
What the hell?
Isn't it similar?
They are very...
they're very similar.
But Chase didn't have the arrogance.
No, he didn't.
Chase had an anger that he directed that if he didn't like a fan, he went out and played harder for them.
Yeah.
Like, he had a way of managing...
This guy doesn't do that.
This guy thinks it's tough in this city. He was brought here to lose for 5 years, and he thinks it's hard here.
Well...
All right, Jonesy is back. I think he's forgetting about the towing.
I cleared the air.
Mike, give me something we cheat at, like the Astros.
Astros.
Illegally streaming movies online.
Oh,
I've heard about that, Ange.
No, don't look at me. It's not me. I am part of SAG.
Yes, you are.
Stay right there. That's the Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah.
And I don't have to stream anything or steal anything because they send it to me.
Don't look at his belly every time he says it.
I haven't watched any of it. I mean, why do they send us that when you can get it online? Like,
because they want you to make sure you watch it in your way leisure.
I don't even have that machine.
DVD player?
Look, would you do me one favor, man to man?
No.
Would you watch the film Hustlers today?
No,
starring
I'm not watching
Lopez?
Hustlers.
And tell me if you don't think of A-Rod while you're watching.
Here's where we are right now in our contest. We're playing for 5 great prizes today. What do people cheat at?
Hmm.
Board games.
Board.
Getting
That's
into
bad.
College.
That's better.
Taxes.
Yeah. Taxes.
Lying in the Wawa line.
What?
That's
doctoring what? Balls with Vaseline.
No, Al? Baseballs.
Cheating on wives.
Hmm.
And stealing Al? Movies.
Stealing movies.
Jump on board and win a prize. There are lines available right now. 888-729-9494. You will get on if you call that number right now. #9494 on your AT&T Verizon cell phone. When we return, Al, we will be checking in with our baseball expert, Todd Zalecki.
Oh, boy.
2 questions. One is, what do you do with the Astros now that we know they cheated in 17?
Yep.
And what the hell, if anything, are the Phillies doing about supporting their roster?
Why can't they cheat?
I don't know what they're doing.
Well, they tried. They just weren't good.
I wish they had. WIP Sports Time is 8:18.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.